Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers. WUWM has been partnering with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee PBS, and the Milwaukee Public Library on an initiative we call Listen MKE, the latest event focused on the need for good mentorship for young Black and Brown people here in Milwaukee. The conversation was hosted by James Causey from the Journal Sentinel and took place last Thursday on Facebook Live. The event included a number of speakers from Milwaukee and Nashville. We hear first from Michael Pratt, founder of Fatherhood Fridays. He begins by explaining what the program is and how it's impacted the lives of young people.
Fatherhood Friday started when I was assistant principal at John Early School, and John Early in Nashville was located in 37208 zip code, and that zip code had the highest rate of African-American male incarceration in the nation at one point. So when I came to the school, I looked around. We had over 60 fights in 2 months, and it was pretty rough. But I looked around and I said, what's missing? And the thing was that I saw was missing was men. So I just came up with some strategies of how we can engage men in the school, and came with the program Fatherhood Friday, where we would have breakfast in the morning with men. Men would come in and have breakfast with kids, and we'd also have a piece where we would display something from the community, and we have a community circle. And the idea of it is that, you know, kids will be what they see. So in that community, if you see people selling dope, then that's what you're going to do. And more importantly, and more specifically, kids will be what they see men doing confidently. So, you know, if we're very confident in our athletic ability, then, you know, we're going to have a lot of athletes. If we're very confident in our rap, then we're going to have a lot of rappers. So we need to, you know, the idea is to create something where children can see men being confident in literacy, you know, reading with literacy. So that's what the program was about and it is about. And we did it at John Early, and I'm involved in a lot of different organizations. I began to call some of the people from my organizations, and I like to say that the mottos of organization or the principles are the smelling salts. So if I'm a member of Phi Beta Sigma, I just say, hey, you know, we stand for Brotherhood, Scholarship, and Service. So that's what we're supposed to do. And I called the fraternity, and they came out. I called other fraternities and various groups of men, and they came out. It was 30, 40 men coming to read with kids. So it was really phenomenal. You know, at one point, we had 66 men come in at 7:45 to 8:15 to come in and read to kids. And, you know, at the beginning of it, I asked kids, how many of y'all have been in a room with a man with two men reading? And nobody raises their hand. How many have been in a room with one man reading? And most kids don't see their parents reading, you know, so they're going to be, you know, what they see, and they need to see men reading. And when we put those books out and those men pick up the books, the kids stare at them, then the kids pick up the books. And we could see that we were not just creating kids who were able to analyze text for tests, but we were creating lifelong readers, lifelong learners, people who enjoy, kids who enjoy books like they enjoy PS5 or something like that.
Well, that's important is, you know, the men get something out of this too as well, the mentors.
When you mentor, a lot of times when I ask someone, a friend, I say, hey, why don't you come to Fatherhood Fridays? The first question is really they're asking, what do you need me to do? You know, and I got a lot on my plate and those things. So I tried my best to design it in a way where it was friendly to men, where you come in, you eat, and you sit down and read, and then you connect with kids, and it's easy, you know. And that's the thing is that I think we believe sometimes as men, we have to be perfect to be a mentor. And I when I first was asked to mentor, I was like, I don't know if you want me to mentor. I'm not ready yet. But, you know, you can teach someone what to do or teach them what not to do. So everyone could be a mentor. And we have to create, Fatherhood Friday creates a venue where men can be successful mentoring. And once they do it, they get hooked. You know, and once they engage those kids and become confident in what they bring to the table, they hooked. You know, when they say, what should I wear? Should I wear a tie? I say, where would you gonna wear to work? You know, where if you take off, then where would you? They need to see all kinds of men who were formerly incarcerated, men who are CEOs of companies, all different types of men. And they need to see those men reading.
Let's bring on Myra Taylor. I want to find out from her How has that changed the impact on your school, especially with the young boys in your school?
First of all, one way to quantify our success saw an increase in library circulation after a few Fatherhood Fridays. The first one, not so much, but after the students got used to it, they knew it was coming. They would ask, hey, when are we doing that thing with the people again? Which was Fatherhood Friday. We saw an increase in the circulation in the library. Our kiddos wanted the books in their hands. They wanted to read. They wanted to engage with texts that were on their level that they could read and take home and bring back and get new books. So we absolutely saw an increase in students' interest in reading, not necessarily their reading levels, but their interest in engaging with the text.
So can you explain a little bit about where Buena Vista is located? It's in a really rough zip code. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Unfortunately, Buena Vista is no longer. Our district consolidated that school with another school that's less than a mile away. It's directly across the street from government housing, which, you know, we had students from all from a wide range. We had students who came, who walked to school from across the street. We also had parents who drove their kids to our school because they knew their students would get all of the supports they needed. But just to give you a quick idea, I had one student, a girl, who at our second, I believe it was our second Fatherhood Friday, asked me, "Miss Taylor, can I still participate? My daddy's dead." Her father had been killed a few years before. And I was like, "Of course, you can be a part of this. We want you here. We will have someone here that can read with you." Our bus driver, who was a man, came every time. And there were a few students who waited for him. They would wait for our bus driver to come because he was their mentor. It meant a lot to our kiddos to have those men come in, eat with them, sit with them, and read a real book with them. It's been huge. Like I said, Buena Vista is no longer a school per se, but our students are still here. We've consolidated with another school, but our students still have those needs. We had a mentor come in from the state to meet with our fourth grade boys, just the fourth grade boys. And he asked them, "How many of you have a parent who is incarcerated?" Every child but one. So we're talking about 42 kids raised their hands. So that just gives you an idea of the community in which we serve.
And Mr. Pratt, I guess the same question goes for you. How do you quantify the success of the Fatherhood Friday program where you are?
I think one of the main ways is just inspiring men to mentor. So it got to the point where people wanted to have it. We would have it once a month or once every 2 weeks. People wanted to have it every Friday. And the other one aspect of the Fatherhood Friday is not just the kids, but empowering men to be mentors. So I began to see a lot more activity from the organizations and other people, from those men and a lot of other mentoring organizations. So I think that's one of the keys is to, you know, to inspire men to reconnect back to their communities, and not just men, but inspire organizations. So that was one of the main things that I saw that I was really impressed with. That, was constantly, men asking me, "Hey, are we going to do a Fatherhood Friday this weekend?" And in the beginning, I would have to, take time personally to just talk to someone to convince them to mentor. But it was, it was references. It were whole groups of people showing up who I hadn't talked to it was just. So I think that's it. It's just creating a movement of men being engaged in the community. Main ways I quantify it.
So what are these children? I'm going to ask this and then I'll shut up for a second. But I do want to know what are these children in a lot of these cases you mentioned some of these mentors, too. What are the students and what are the mentors getting from these fatherhood initiatives? What are they learning? What are they talking about? Just the subject matters and what do they walk away with?
So I just want to say I know from doing this for 20 plus years that the primary thing that our students, the low socioeconomic background lack is exposure. And this was all about exposure. It was exposing our students to a different type of environment. Our kids were exposed to professionals. They were exposed to blue-collar workers. They were exposed to a variety of texts, whether it was fiction or nonfiction. And they were exposed to people, adults, men, who sat with them and read a text and had a discussion about that. So what our kids got was the exposure. It opened up doors. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's the truth. You have a child who has never sat with an adult other than a teacher in a school to read a book. And most of their teachers are not Black men. So they would sit with the teacher and read a book. Now they have a man, an adult, who comes in and reads a book and talks to them about the book and asks them, what do you want to be as an adult? How do you see your future? That gives our students a totally different lens. They took away being exposed to something different, and it sparked imagination, I would say. It sparked their imagination. It sparked their desire to do and be and see something different than what they've always been.
Yeah, that's it. And I think sometimes it's easy to quantify test scores and things, or, you know, but the reality is relationships, you know, at our core and primary. So developing those relationships and those men coming back to that school, at, you know, many of them participated even in between and after Fatherhood Friday. So that's the key, just to ignite that fire under the men and under those organizations, and to raise expectations for kids. You know, when a young lady sits in a room with 60 men, a second grader, and she sees men reading, then she expects the man later on that she meets or to read. You know, and when boys see other men reading, they read. And I think I remember there was one instance where two boys came up to one of the readers and said, "Hey, I can do push-ups. I can do these push-ups." But that's the way these boys thought to impress a man, is that let me show you how many push-ups I can do. It has to always be physical. So just changing that mindset through Fatherhood Friday is really a mindset thing.
Yeah, which brings up relationships. And I want to bring on John Daniels III to talk about the relationships that were developed between mentors and students over the summer through his MKE Fellows and Fellows program. John, talk a little bit about the MKE Fellows and working with the school over the summer.
Sure. Thanks so much. We're really excited this year to be able to work with students at a few schools in the city of Milwaukee. I run the MKE Fellows program, and it's composed of college age students. And the number of middle school students who had never met someone who looked like them in college was just mind-blowing to me. I think the statistic I heard the other day is that in America, 83% of elementary educators are Caucasian females, and that only 7% are African-American. And of that 7%, only 2% are male. And so to have these young college students who were close to their age, being able to talk to them about math and reading. It really was amazing, even hearing some of the things that they discussed about their majors and topics that interest them.
So what school did you work with over the summer?
So we were both at Metcalf, and then we were on Holy Redeemer's campus as well. And that gave us an opportunity to deal with a variety of middle school students who had a variety of areas of experience. At Metcalf, we had students in that zip code who had students who went to Marquette, college students who went to Marquette, and they had similar experiences. And having them have the opportunity to talk about, oh, yes, I went to this school, or I remember riding the 12, or whatever it was, gave them an opportunity to build a relationship, to not just talk about the fundamentals of education, but also to build a relationship of similarities and hear about how they, too, could succeed in their career.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed that, you know, when I observed how the MKE Fellows were working with the students was just a simple relationship. The young people really wanted to impress these fellows. I mean, they really wanted to impress them. So they read, they talked, they considered them like big brothers. And that was a very unique feeling. And I just think that's inspiring. And can you talk a little bit about what the MKE Fellows and how that whole relationship started with them in the school in the first place? Because normally they would be offered internships to do other things.
Yeah, so this year has been a year of challenges for almost all of us. And one of the things we noticed in the springtime is that the reading levels of students was struggling through virtual education. And so we set up a partnership first with Metcalf School to have some of our college students, our MKE fellows are about 200 young men from the Milwaukee area who go to about 30 different colleges across America. We wanted to partner them with these middle school students. In a normal year, our internships are at Baird and Advocate Aurora and Northwestern Mutual and companies working in finance and engineering and at GE. But because of the nature of being virtual for safety, we created a program that we called the Five Pillars that really helped the young people to know that it wasn't just a college student that was investing time in their education, but there were strong pillars of the community that were standing behind them. And they had this support system behind them as they, too, continued to work on their education. And so we hired the college students to do this throughout the year.
This is a good time to bring on Lanelle Ramey, Executive Director of Mentor Greater Milwaukee. Let's talk about what you do at Mentor Greater Milwaukee.
Absolutely. A lot of times, and even Brother Pratt alluded to it earlier, it's like people get confused on what a mentor is, but it's really about that support system, right? It's really being a leverage for a young person to allow them to navigate life's issues and potentially see something in themselves or get something brought out of them that traditionally hasn't been seen or talked about. So some of the things and advantages of mentors does is we know for a fact that young people who have a mentor in their life are 37% less likely than their peer to do something like skip school. They're 50% less likely than their peer to skip an entire day of school. So when we start to see things like that happen with a young person in school, it starts to transform the thinking that a young person will have in school. Everything from their ethnic and racial identity, for example, when you put a Black man, a man of color in front of a student, it starts to build their confidence in who they are as a Black man. And I wanted to say something because Brother Pratt alluded to this a little bit earlier, regarding about data, for example, because sometimes we start a mentoring program like they did at the school, and then people want to see reading numbers increase that same year. What took years to tear down takes years to rebuild up. So we need to have the opportunity to allow mentorship to be a part of that process. When you start to put men of color in front of students, and I love what you said about men of all backgrounds, because everybody has a story. It's how you tell that story, which makes you an effective mentor, right? So if you want to only tell your war stories about what you did when you was on the block and that's all you're speaking to, then you're going to keep that young man mind boxed in the block that you're talking to. But when you can expand their thinking and show how you made it out and you from the same neighborhood and you went to the same school. I went to the best high school there is, Riverside University High School here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I stand on that, right? But when you show that type of love, and to your point, Earl, right? Because you're gonna stand on Marshall, right? You're gonna stand
all
on
day,
that school.
All day.
But when you start to show the love and passion that you have about your experiences, that's what mentorship is about. Then our young Black boys start to see that, and they see a different Black man than what they're being told about who they are. Because many times my young brothers only see what's in their kind of two block radius, and therefore that's what they think they're supposed to become. But we get to tear down that myth through mentorship. We get to remove those barriers through mentorship by being allies for our young people and speaking up for our young people and allowing them to see a different them as well.
Lanelle Ramey is the executive director of Mentor Greater Milwaukee. You also heard from John Daniels, the executive director of the MKE Fellows Program, Myra Taylor, the principal of Buena Vista Elementary School in Nashville, and Michael Pratt, the founder of Fatherhood Fridays in Nashville. They spoke with James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as part of Listen MKE. The conversation was recorded last Thursday on Facebook Live. Listen MKE is a partnership of WUWM, the Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Public Library, and Milwaukee PBS. You can find the full conversation at WUWM.com.